deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la la la.
All right, as we round the corner here, the legislatures have gone home for the holidays, so if they don't have it done by now, it's not going to happen, apparently. They've got it wrapped up. And my next guest says there have been solid changes to public policy, and it deserves applause. Michael LaFave is the Senior Director of the Maury Fiscal Policy Initiative for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Michael, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. So, applause. That's pretty high standard in this day and age for politicians. Do explain.
Well, I've spent the last 12 months watching the legislature, make the proverbial sausage, as they say. You know, there's two things you should never watch being made, sausage and law. And I was rather impressed with how things turned out, at least from a fiscal policy perspective, because when the year kicked off, there was a call for a $2.5 billion increase to spend $1.9 billion on roads. There was an obvious disagreement between the governor's office and the legislature. But the legislature came up with an extra $400 million for the roads without raising taxes, and it also trimmed certain line items that I thought were the lowest hanging fruit and had long called for, to be trimmed, such as those in our corporate welfare part of the state budget. They actually, the House side anyway, actually recommended one line item be trimmed by 52%, something I had never seen in my 25 years with the Mackinac Center.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. What area was that?
There's a line item in the state budget called Business Development and Community Revitalization, and the Mackinac Center has actually done a detailed study on half of that line item, a program called the Michigan Business Development Program. And that business development program, we found for every $500,000 it gives to corporate interests in counties across the state, there's a corresponding loss of some 600 jobs in that county. And we have recommended the elimination of it. They haven't eliminated it by any stretch, but the House side of the legislature tried to cut the overall line item by 52%. It didn't work out that way, but there was still a cut agreed to by the legislature and the governor for this line item.
So, I mean, this is real progress, and it's interesting because you have a split in Lansing now with a Democrat governor and, of course, Republicans controlling the two houses. Does this make you optimistic, Michael, as we look toward 2020 as far as fiscal responsibility goes?
I am optimistic, but I do know that there are spending interests out there, whether they're simply office holders who believe the best public policy includes a bigger, more powerful state government, or there are many supporters who want more money for their particular area of interest, whether it's university spending or roads. The pressure that they're going to be feeling, I think, is the fact that while we expect the state economy to grow, it's not going to grow to a degree where everyone's interest will be satisfied, where everyone's thirst for more revenue will be slaked. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions among competing demands, whether it's to spend more money on Pure Michigan, which, by the way, was reduced to zero with the governor's line item veto, or to spend more money on roads.
Well, and that's the question that continues. The roads question, because every place I travel, Michael, and I want to focus on the roads for just a moment while I have you. The roads seem to be being repaired. I know because I'm sitting with orange barrels and lane closures and everything else. And I know that we're still ramping up a full implementation of money that had been set aside for roads previously. Do we really need to make another tax increase to get us where we need to be? Your perspective.
No, actually, we recommended $1 billion in low-hanging fruit. I think 13 different ideas that we think could have been easily done. And that was just a first step. So there are alternative ideas out there to raising taxes by $2.5 billion to spend $1.9 billion on the roads. And I think that the senator from Traverse City area, Wayne Schmidt, had a great observation. He said, we can't possibly ramp up that fast. If you take in another $1.9 billion tomorrow, there'd be so many orange barrels everywhere, no one would be able to drive to a destination. We'd all be stuck in one great big detour.
Well, and that's true. I mean, the roads didn't deteriorate immediately, and you can't rebuild them all the same day, can you?
No, you can't. And that's why a phase-in, whether it's a phase-in from for extra money from spending cuts or from some tax hike that they agree to, would probably be a better alternative for all taxpayers. In fact, in addition to all those orange barrels, if you tried to spend all that $1.9 billion they want at once, there's the fact that we'd be paying a very large premium to get the work done because it takes a while for road builders to ramp up in terms of employment, in terms of getting their hands on materials and equipment. So rather than be stuck with paying a premium for these road repairs, phasing in road repairs at a successfully higher levels would probably be a better way to go.
Yeah, and we also know that when you do a rush job, if you're demanding it all has to be fixed now, a rush job, then those that are doing the work, well, that means they have to ramp up with more employees and more demands, and a rush job is always more expensive. Michael Lefebvre here, the senior director of the Maury Fiscal Policy Initiative at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. So, Michael, what do you see then on the, and we'll finish it here today, I'll give you the last word on this, as far as the demands for more funding and more money for road building, you say it's not necessary, but that doesn't mean the politicians are listening to you. What do you expect in 2020 on this topic?
Well, I think more of the same, unless both sides can find some type of middle ground. Part of the problem last year was that the governor wanted it all and was willing to, you know, make major vetoes to line item spending that she thought would drive Republicans back to her bargaining table. Instead, Republicans said the budget's done. And I think out of pressure on both sides, they eventually came to a supplemental spending agreement that resulted in more money, but not nearly as much as the governor wanted for roads. In fact, they're going to be spending less on roads right now, according to the fiscal 2020 budget, than the House and Senate had appropriated
right
when they passed their budgets.
Well, so, Michael, go ahead. We've got to wrap it up right there. So I guess we'll just keep a close eye on it. I don't think they ever give up asking for more money. I just think that it's better when we say no oftentimes. And, Michael, I think you're right. Some of those policy changes do deserve applause, and I thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you, Michael Lefebvre, with the Mackinac Center. He is the senior director of the Maury Fiscal Policy Initiative there. It's the Steve Gruber Show.